ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Vishnusahasranam 596, Kumuda. It's a fairly common word found in Srimad Bhagavatam and other shastras, mostly to indicate a certain type of lotus flower that blooms at night. You're okay sitting under there? Be careful when you get up. You may hit your head. So that could be taken that the lotus flower is as beautiful as Krishna. Usually the analogies go around the other way. The Krishna is as beautiful as the moon, but better to say the moon is as beautiful as Krishna. No, not as beautiful as Krishna. That's not possible. This name is, apart from being a name of Vishnu, it's also the name of one of the associates of Lord Vishnu, one of the Vaikuntha doorkeepers. Jayam Vijaya, the most famous among the doorkeepers, but they're at the first gate, but there are seven gates, so Kumuda is inside one of them. He's one of the Diggajas, the elephants of the directions. Kumuda is one of the names generated from the churning of the milk ocean. One of the four mountains on the four sides of Sumeria is called Kumuda. And it's also one of the names of one of the forests of Vrindavan. So you can imagine that originally there were so many Kumud flowers there, Kumudavan. Similar name is a name that Krishna himself gave to his sister, when she was born from Yashoda, he gave her various names. One of them was Kumuda, female form of the name. So what does this mean? Let's see what it means. Ku is the opposite of Su. Su means everything good and Ku means everything bad. And Muda means happiness, so Kumuda, the name of Durga, is she who gives happiness in this material world. Of course, it's illusory happiness. Krishna gives happiness in this material world, or he is happy within it. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning that he becomes happy enjoying pastimes with his brother Balaram in the forest of Vrindavan. So that's not exactly in the material world, but manifested in the material world. The first words of Srila Prabhupada's books that I read, Krishna book, is volume 2. He stated that Vrindavan is such a nice transcendental place, but this material world is so contaminated that even within Vrindavan, there's sometimes disturbance from demons. So Vrindavan is the spiritual world, but it's manifested within the material world, and sometimes there's some interface. So Krishna comes to this world to show his happy pastimes and attract us back to the spiritual world. Also, whatever happiness is there in this material world, and it is a drop, it's just like a drop of water in a desert. That's also given by Krishna, because everything's given by Krishna. But really, real happiness is the happiness of Krishna, consciousness. So we can be happy in this material world by remembering Krishna. Jayadev Goswami sings, Sri Jayadeva Kaveridha Mudita Mudaram Shrinu Sukhadam Shubhadam Bhavasaram Keshavadritta Dashavidha Rupa, Jai Jagadisha Hare, concluding his brief description of the 10 avatars, he says that Sri Jayadeva Kaber Idam Uditam Udaram. So he says that the poet Jayadev, he's very generously Kaber Idam Uditam. He has spoken these about these 10 incarnations. By hearing about, we will be happy and attain auspiciousness, even in this material world of birth and death. Even though the very nature of this world is that it's full of birth and death, we can be happy by remembering him. And the happiness of remembering him, that carries us all the way to Krishna, to the spiritual world. This Kunti Rani says, let's see if I can remember that verse, Srinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Abhikshasa Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitang Janaha Ta Eva Pashyantya Chirena Tava Kambhava Prabaho Paramang Padam Bhujam. It sounds very beautiful, doesn't it? The Sanskrit sounds very... Just hearing, we become happy. And then the meaning that those who hear about you, she's talking to Krishna, and sing about you, Srinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, and who accept that, they're not just, they take it in their heart, constantly, those who constantly hear about, chant about, and remember you, and who take pleasure in others doing so. So there's pleasure in that. That's the point. They very soon see you. And by seeing you, they will no longer see repeated birth. By seeing, they will see your lotus feet, she specifically says. And then by seeing those lotus feet, they will no longer see repeated birth and death. So he is the one who gives happiness in this world. There are different kinds of happiness. There's Indriya Sukh, the happiness of the senses, which is just a cause of distress. But those who want it, he arranges for that also. There's mental happiness, imagining, daydreaming, or the mental happiness of being more powerful than others and being in a more prestigious position. There's intellectual happiness, kind of happiness that a mathematician, for instance, might get by solving some or mathematical problem. And the highest of all is spiritual happiness. Indriyebhya. Indriyani parani ahur indriyebhya parang manaha. Manasastu para buddhe yo buddhe paratastu saha. These are the different levels of consciousness, also seen as the annakosh, pranakosh, Jnanakosh, Vijnanakosh, and Anandakosh. These are the different levels of consciousness in this material world. So in the beginning, in the lowest stage of consciousness, one gets happiness only from food. And that is one level of understanding Brahma. Anna Brahma. Here in Udupi, they have the prasad distribution, Anna Brahma, that's one level, that's stated in the Taittiriya Upanishad, that the first level of understanding Brahma, the highest truth, is food. So even people who take pleasure in food, that's one kind of pleasure, and that pleasure is also Krishna. Even the Rakshasas who like to eat meat and blood and whatever pleasure, that's all. But that's a perverse reflection of the true pleasure that Krishna wants to give us. He comes to this world to give us the real pleasure, just like the first name in this verse is Shubhanga. His bodily form is so beautiful and auspicious. Another reason why it's auspicious is because by remembering that form, or seeing that form, or touching that form, or serving that form, or feeding that form, then we lose our interest in seeing, touching, hearing about feeding or material forms. And that's very auspicious, because the desire to enjoy in any way the material forms, both our own form, so-called form, temporary form, and that of others, that is the cause of all our inauspiciousness. So Rupa Goswami has warned that if you are interested in material society and friendship and love, don't go. Be careful. Don't go to Keshi Ghat in the moonlight, because Govinda is standing there playing his flute. And by seeing him, you will lose all interest in all your materialistic family, friends, and all this kind of thing. So it's a back to front way of saying, run, go there, go to Keshi Ghat, go and see Krishna. Go and see his auspicious form. Go get that real happiness, not this kumuda, this this illusory, this happiness of this material world. Krishna, he gives the opportunity for every living being. He himself enjoys spiritual sound, touch, taste, smell, feeling, and he gives the living beings also the opportunity to enjoy that. He comes to this material world, but he's not touched by it. He remains always spiritual. That is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it describes how Krishna, the queens in Dwaraka, every one of them was more beautiful than millions of apsaras, and they were very desirous to enjoy Krishna, but Krishna couldn't be disturbed in any material way by their coquettishness. Srila Prabhupada uses that word in this context. Coquettishness means their female charms. He couldn't be disturbed by that because he's not on the mundane platform. Of course, he enjoyed transcendental feelings with them, but it's not at all material. Then Shukdev, no, at that point it's Vyasadev. Shukdev hasn't appeared at this point. Vyasadev says that, is in the first canto, that, what is that? This is the godness of etadishanamishasya prakritistho pitadgunaihi nayujyate sadatmasthair yathabuddhistadashrayaha. This is the distinguishing feature of his being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that even though he's within this material nature, manifests himself within this material nature, he's not affected by it. He's always aloof from that. And those who are his devotees in his shelter, they also come to the same platform of consciousness. They're not affected by anything material. So he's within the material world and he's happy. Everyone in the material world is miserable. There's some happiness, but that's the illusory happiness. It's all miserable. But he's in the material world and he's actually happy because he is Padma Patram Evam Bhasa. He gives that example of, Krishna gives that example of a yogi. He's like a lotus leaf which is in the water, but it's above the water. It's not affected by the water. So Krishna is the greatest yogi. He's not affected by anything. He doesn't partake in the low-class happiness of this mature world. He always enjoys with his devotees. One of the commentators given the example Well, I'll give another. Before I give this example, I'll describe Srila Prabhupada talking about Rama Lila. In the Nectar of Devotion, Krishna discusses, Srila Prabhupada discusses, that Ram Lila seems to be very sad. There seems to be so much distress. That distress is predicated on the great happiness. Everyone was very happy. Ram is going to be crowned. And then all of a sudden, that great happiness, great distress can follow more after great happiness. The people who can be the most distressed are those who have been the most happy. So all of a sudden it changes. Ram is banished to the forest for 14 years. So that's very sad to all the inhabitants of Ayodhya. Dasharatha is so disturbed that he just dies. Bharat, who is supposed to enjoy the situation, he's also very disturbed and he accepts a life of extreme austerity. Ram goes to the forest, and you all know the story. It's all fairly happy until Sita gets kidnapped, and Ram is again in great distress. Sita is in great distress. Then, with so many adventures, they eventually destroy Ravana and so many others. Lanka war is much, much bigger than the Mahabharata war. In Mahabharata war, only a few million people got killed. But in the Lanka war, there were crores, thousands of crores of demons from all over the universe were killed. It was, and mostly by Ram himself. After all of that, they get Sita back, and then it all seems very happy, and then he tests her by fire. Brings her back, and then they all lived happily ever after. No. Sita's banished. So it all seems very sad, but Srila Prabhupada describes that's all transcendental bliss. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. That's all spiritual bliss. And he gives the example that why would people go on hearing it if the people, they again and again they hear Ram Lila, they know the story. They know it's a sad story, but again and again people like to hear. Why is it? Because actually there's underlying all that is the spiritual happiness that's indescribable and not incomprehensible to materialists. How there could be happiness in there, because Krishna's always happy, even when he's apparently sad. Everything in this material, the happiness of this material world is all sad, and the sadness is all sad. And in the spiritual world, the happiness is all happiness, and the distress is also happiness. Now, getting back to one of the Sri Vaishnava commentators, he says that this world is so, this is different perspective on it. He said this world is so bad that even Ram cries and suffers within it. But he still finds pleasure in the company of great sages, and he gives the names Bharadvaj, Atri, Agastya, and what to speak of the great devotees like Hanuman, Shankaracharya, he says that he gives joy to this world. This world is miserable, but he gives joy to this world by freeing of its burdens. So, doesn't clarify that, but the person that's Krishnamacharya who has made this compilation, he suggests that that may freeze it from burdens at the time of pralayam, at the time. So that's the happiness of this world. The happiness is getting destroyed and forgetting it all. That's the Mayavadi idea of happiness. Just become zero. Bliss. Devotees have such a better aspiration. Yeah, in then the other commentators, Kumuda in this material world, this world is bad, but he comes to this earth, and the earth is also his wife. So he takes pleasure in giving her pleasure. She comes and prays, please free me from the burden. So he comes, his wife, as in Varaha Avatar, he saved her, saved the earth, and consorted with her. Then again, Bhumi Devi, she's of course always in, seen in the Sri Vaishnava temples. Bhagavan is always seen with his main Shakti, Sri and Bhu. She's also there as Satyabhama, and in Gauralila as Vishnupriya. Then another one of the commentators gives a completely different understanding that by Sanskrit, derived from the Sanskrit, that Kumada can be, the Ku can be derived from Kai, which means sound, Shabda. So his quality of deriving pleasure or giving pleasure through sound, the Vedic sounds. We just had a few names like that in the previous verse. He's Sama. He's the Sama Veda, Trisama. Samaga, he himself sings the Vedas and takes pleasure in that. So all the Vedas, he likes to hear the Vedas. He likes to hear, just as his devotees take pleasure in hearing about him, Machita Madgata Prana Bodhayantas Parasparam Katayantas Jamangnityam Tushanticha Ramanticha. His devotees, whose mind has gone to him, whose heart has gone to him, they enlighten each other about him and discussing about him always. In this way, they remain completely satisfied and delighted. So that pleasure comes from Krishna, because he is all pleasure. Then when devotees discuss him, they take pleasure in that. So he also likes to hear. There are so many descriptions about the glories of discussing Krishna Katha in the Shastra. There's so many about hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Srinvatam Swakatha Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridyante Sohya Bhadrani, Vidunoti Suritsatam. That doesn't so much mention about the joy of hearing about how it's purifying to hear about Krishna. Then there is Satang Prasangan Mama Virya Sangvido Bhavanti Hrit Karna Rasayana Kata. In the association of devotees, hearing topics of Krishna's greatness, Bhavanti Hrit Karna. It's like a tonic in the form of talk for the heart tonic, ear tonic. Then Nivritta Tarshai Rupa Giyamanad Bhavosha, that's Chotra, Mano Abhirama. This hearing about Krishna is for especially appreciated by persons who are fed up about hearing anything else. They like to hear about him, discussing in disciplic succession. And that is a medicine for material life, and it is very pleasing to the mind. So hearing Mano Abhirama, Mana Abhirama. so very pleasing to the mind. So Krishna, he is in that sense also Kumada, in the sound, the pleasure of sound. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought the Golokera Prema Dhanna Harinama Sankirtan, the very wealth of the spiritual world in the form of Harinam Sankirtan. And he himself comes to this material world and takes great delight in chanting his own names in the mood of a devotee. Music also is something amazing. The scientists, they like to say that everything has simply come about without any cause or intention. There's no consciousness behind it all. But how do you explain the psychological effect of music and how it's all highly ordered and mathematical? And not only human, snakes can be charmed. Animals, cows, they like music. Nice bhajans, they like to hear also. Even animals are charmed by it. So the sound of the holy names, that is great pleasure. That's why we're discussing here. 1,000 names. Just as an introduction to the many names of Krishna. So he himself takes pleasure in hearing his own names. So much pleasure that he takes the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu principally to chant the holy names in this world. So, Hare Krishna. Any question? Comment? There's a kind of pleasure also that he also creates this material world. Some kind of pleasure is everything he does is pleasurable. That name just came just before the Shrashta. He's the creator. So, everything he does is pleasurable. Even creating the prison house of the material world, it's not that he's unhappy doing that. Everything he does is pleasurable. Someone may be a hangman, an executioner. You may think, well, that's not a nice job. So Krishna, he executes either directly by killing the demons or in the form of time, kills everyone. But that's also, everything for him is pleasure. Not that he takes a perverse pleasure in doing so. It has to be understood always that his consciousness is completely pure because he only desires the benefit of everyone. So even in killing them, that's also his pastime for the benefit of others. So he's happy in that also. Okay, Hare Krishna. I'll finish that now.